All right, welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. This is episode 124 and the last episode of the year. I can't believe 2013 is just about finished. Here is to a new year. I want to mention some changes to the website, etc. So the first thing you will no doubt notice is that our artwork has changed on everything so far except the app. We dropped the plain white logo with all the tools and symbols, and we now have a graphic which is original in its design from Brother Juan Sepulveda, a professional artist out of Florida who is also the host of the Winding Stairs podcast, as well as the brother behind FreemasonryArt.com. And I have to give a shout out to him for hooking us up with the artwork. Thanks so much, brother. The next thing that I wanted to tell you all is that I moved all of my ways of supporting the show to its own tab on the website. So before, you used to see it all on the right-hand side, and it was getting a little bit cluttered over there. I wanted to clean things up for the new year. So if you visit www.wcypodcast.com and click on the link for Support the Show, which is right at the top, there are several links, discounts, and everything else that you can support the show through. Whether it's through straight donations, through PayPal, registering with Stitcher Smart Radio, clicking through onnit.com to get your Alpha Brain, use the promo code WCY for 10% off, visiting freemasonryart.com for top-notch Masonic art, and using the same code WCY there for 10% off as well. You want episodes on disc, or you just want access to the papers we read and weekly Masonic wallpapers through our app. All of them are there for you. Every bit of the money that we raise through that just comes right back into the show. I don't take any of that for costs or anything. I do this show just out of my own free time, but this helps me pay for it. So now that that's out of the way, let's jump right into the first piece of the week. And this was a submission by Brother Bill Keenan, Reflections of a Newly Raised Mason. I had been considering looking into Freemasonry for a while, but the birth of twin sons had understandably put all plans on hold. As they turned two, I found that I could make the time, so after briefly considering the Rotary and a few other service groups, I decided that the mysteries of Freemasonry were more interesting to me, and still fulfilled my interest in joining a philanthropic group. I began looking into my local temple and realized that not only didn't I know what Freemasonry was, I didn't know the temple or lodge structure, or how it was that one temple seemed to have 9 lodges in it. After a few emails, I was able to connect with a brother from General Mercer number 548, and agreed to meet for a beer in a chat. As all brothers know, it's a complicated discussion to have. What is Freemasonry? What do you do? Why do you do it? The craft gives us answers, but they are necessarily evasive to the uninitiated. And I was no different in my confusion. The brother's obvious love for the craft and earnest belief that he had personally benefited from the work convinced me to keep going, petition the lodge, and see what it was all about. Walking into the temple for the first time was an odd experience. It's very daunting to approach. A group of men, without any real introduction, walk up to them, shake a hand, and say, "Hi, I don't really know what I'm doing here." But soon enough, there was friendly conversation, jokes, and fraternity, and it seemed like something worth pursuing. My first real friendship in the craft grew out of my memorization work for the Entered Apprentice degree, and here I really began to understand the secret of the fraternity. That it comes naturally of shared experience and reliance on one another, something our craft is beautifully engineered to create. There was no magic door to it, simply time spent in mutual effort and work. I work on the internet, and the temptation to type in Masonic initiation is very strong. Happily, I was able to resist, though. That said, I don't think any YouTube video can prepare you for the actual experience of a degree, that of being walked through it with your friend or guide, and saying the words. I'm very happy I didn't try and find the secrets, as the experience of the initiation and further degrees was a great and moving experience. For almost a year, I didn't enter the lodge without being there to do a degree, exemplify or practice to do so, and felt I couldn't really answer yet, "What do you do there?" Now, being on the other side, barely, of my Master Mason degree, I feel that I can. Every time I go to lodge, I feel the sincerity of our grand principles, the simple truth of fraternity, and see the value in the work that we do. Not one among us would profess to be a perfect Ashlar, and as we learn in the work, that is fine, but working toward it and having that goal in our minds can only be steps in the right direction. Bill Keenan, Master Mason. All right, our thanks to Brother Bill for sharing that piece. Next, I want to talk a little bit about The Freemason, the new movie from Joseph James Films, also which was produced by brother Joseph James and Mr. Sean Astin. A few weeks back, we talked with brother James before the holiday break, and let me just say, if you want to see The Freemason, you are not alone. After the red carpet premiere, the response was so big, they were given a green light for a nationwide theatrical release. It is a limited release, but nonetheless, you will be able to see it before it comes out on DVD. The major release date will be on or about February 7th, a week before Valentine's Day. So if you live in one of the big cities which will be showing the film, then perhaps you'll have a new plan for Valentine's Day. So get ready for that. I wanted to let you all know, additionally, that Brother James is working so hard on this project, and he is so committed to getting back to you and your inquiries about the film personally, that he set up an email address where you can reach him directly about it. That email address is thefreemasonmovieinformation@gmail.com. So you can contact him there, especially if you want a screening for your local theater. For instance, if you don't live in one of these big cities, but you can guarantee 100 people or more to commit beforehand, then he can spend the money and set up a premiere at a local theater for you. And with about 100 people, it about breaks even. So I know I will be looking into getting my Scottish Rite Valley to have a screening as well, and also a screening in general in my area. The theater he is working with is AMC. So remember to follow Brother James at The Freemason Movie and at Joseph James News on Twitter. Likewise, they're all over Facebook as well, so check them out. Next, I wanted to cover something that I just found out about. Well, somewhat recently, I should say. A brother who I am usually in contact with, Brother Longhurst, suggested I cover the AJEF, which is apparently an appendant body within Freemasonry, which is primarily a youth organization. I'd never heard of these guys. It stands for Association de Joven Esperanza de la Fraternidad, which translated means Association of Youth Hope of the Fraternity. I know I butchered that. I don't speak Spanish very well. It is for youth aged 14 to 21 in Mexico, United States, and Latin America. Although, initially, the local organizations were known as AJEF Lodges. The title has changed to Chapters in order to reinforce the fact that it is not Masonry, but an independent body. Every chapter is sponsored by a Masonic Lodge in both economic and moral support. It is the equivalent in focus and function to the Order of de Molay. Although it is open to both sexes, mixed sessions are forbidden, except on special occasions in which there must be a Master Mason present. AJEF was founded in Havana, Cuba on February 9, 1936 by Fernando Suarez Nunez, who was alive May 7, 1882, and he passed away on January 24, 1946. The first chapter was called Esperanza, or Hope. Reaching 5,000 members by 1938, its rapid growth began to foster chapters overseas. In 1939, the first Mexican AJEF Lodge, Benito Juarez, was established in Veracruz. The second one was established in Mexico City, and the name was Fernando Suarez Nunez. The letters AJEF have, in themselves, a deeper meaning, as these are the letters of the fundamental words love, justice, hope, and fraternity. Amor, justicia, esperanza, and fraternidad. So, I thought that this was interesting. I hadn't seen or heard of these in the US, but I am sure that they have to be around in a few locations. In fact, I am sure a Google search would turn up results. Next is a piece by Right Worshipful Brother Alfonso Serrano of Aurora Grotta de Star Lodge number 647 in New York. And I have read his work before on the show. He has good things to say, and his writing is wonderful. So, without delay, here is Masonic Etiquette. The Masonic fraternity exists in today's world as the oldest existing fraternity in the world. It shares the fraternal stage with many other different and similar organizations, such as the Loyal Order of the Moose, the Elks, the Knights of Columbus, the International Order of Oddfellows, the Fraternal Order of Eagles, the Mechanics, and the Fraternal Order of Foresters, to name a few. The one thing that sets us apart from most, if not all, these organizations is our ritual and our tradition, both written and spoken. One of the most important aspects of our traditional history is our Masonic etiquette. Masonic etiquette belongs to the empire of good manners, together with certain concepts peculiar to Freemasonry. We all should practice etiquette because of its power to help maintain harmony. It is a form of courtesy to the individual members and a manifestation of respect to the craft. Harmony is the first law of the lodge. and the worshipful master of his brethren demands it when he declares the lodge open. I now declare the lodge duly open and in order for business, at the same time forbidding any idle, immoral, or other un-Masonic conduct whereby the harmony of the same may be disturbed. The dictionary defines etiquette as follows, quote, the forms and practices prescribed by social conversation or by authority or the established rule of procedure and ceremony in a court or any other official or other body, end quote. I am a believer in our standard work and lectures, our constitution and our etiquette. This sets us apart from any other organization, though there are Masons today who would look to doing away with certain parts of the ritual, such as the middle chamber lecture or how we enter a lodge room. I recently read a suggestion by a Mason, who is an AGL, that we should do away with approaching the altar when coming into or leaving a lodge after it has been opened and saluting the senior wardens when one needs to leave the lodge room during degree work. This is the kind of thinking that cheapens the fraternity, and I expect that the brothers of this lodge would strive to execute the proper Masonic etiquette due not only to the lodge itself, but also to the lodge brothers. I know that many of us have seen members act un-Masonically toward another brother. That is because we are human, and as humans, we will constantly make mistakes. Still, we must strive to build our temples and seek perfection. One avenue that can be used to achieve this goal is through respect or etiquette. Remember to subdue your passions and improve yourself in Masonry is probably the most difficult tasks as Masons we are obligated to perform. I particularly direct this essay to my newly raised brethren. The most unnerving thing for me to see is a past master or past Grand Lodge officer address the worshipful master while he remains seated and not on the sign of fidelity. How can we fault our newly raised Masons who see this uncourteous behavior and repeat the same thinking that it is the norm? To the newly raised brother, should you make this mistake and are corrected by another brother, do not be distracted by his zeal, for this brother practices Masonic etiquette. Brother Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, quote, if good manners were lost, it would be necessary for the next gentleman to rediscover them, end quote. This applies in full force to Masonic etiquette. Without it, our fraternity would be impossible. Where a group of Masons act as a unit, as in a lodge communication, etiquette takes the form of proper decorum. Loud talk, restless moving about, laughter, smoking, flippancy, irrelevance, irreverence toward the worshipful master and other constituted officers of the lodge, passing between the altar and the east, omission of the sign of fidelity, giving no heed to the business at hand, improper entering and leaving. No man needs to consult a book of etiquette in order to accept the fact that such indecorous behavior is dangerous to the harmony of the lodge. It is in such an atmosphere that ill will and hard feelings, not to mention the more serious menace of splits and feuds, are most likely to take root, to the great danger of the craft. A worshipful master who permits the intrusion of such indecorum is not faithful to the duties of his office. The following are what I consider some of the important rules of etiquette, which you should commit to memory. Addressing the chair or worshipful master. The rules of order in Freemasonry do not permit discussion during a communication among brethren. The brother who has anything to say to the lodge, whether it be enter discussion or to make a second motion, must rise to his feet, give the sign, wait to be recognized by the master, speak directly to the master. He must also remain on the sign of fidelity until seated. The altar. No brother shall pass between the altar and the east while the lodge is at labor, except when required to do so by ritualistic performance. The great lights are the particularly responsibility of the worshipful master. No brother should ever obscure his view of them. The anteroom. As soon as a brother enters the Masonic hall to attend a communication, he comes under the sway of Masonic etiquette. If he is late, he should not indulge in loud talking that may be heard in the lodge. His demeanor toward other brethren whom he may meet should be courteous and respectful, there as well as elsewhere. Masonry does not give any man license to take personal liberties with another. This is especially true if any candidates are present and present waiting there to call to the preparation room to give the impression that vulgar conduct, levity, practical joking, or other forms of disrespect are countenanced by the craft as a misrepresentation of the lodge. The apron. When wearing clothing that would conceal the apron, always wear the apron on the outside of the garment except when wearing a formal cutaway or tails. A Grand Lodge officer should always wear the apron of his office, not only to pay proper respect to the Lodge or Grand Lodge, but also as a means to identify the office he holds or the highest office held, except when filling an office in the advancing line of Lodge officers. At Masonic memorial services, all Lodge officers and brethren, regardless of station, shall be clothed in white aprons. The ballot. The Grand Lodge constitutions make discussion of the ballot a Masonic offense. Except for the Holy Bible, the ballot is the most sacred thing in the lodge. Every Mason owes to his lodge the duty of protecting it against poor material, and every Mason owes to every petitioner a fair ballot, which is the only protection a petitioner has against unfair discrimination and unreasonable prejudice. Brother is a title. In the usages of Freemasonry, brother is neither a sentimental nor familiar form of address, but is a title, as much so as worshipful, very worshipful, right worshipful, and most worshipful, and must always be used as such. A man does not attend a lodge communication in his capacity as a private individual. He is not Joe or Bill or John. He is there in his capacity as Master Mason, and for this reason, one should refer to John Doe as Brother Doe, in the same literal sense as any other officer in Lodge or Grand Lodge. Discussion in Lodge. Many Lodge proposals are decided by ballot because the business of Masonry is so democratically managed. The discussion of such proposals and business in Lodge has a large importance and must be safeguarded lest it be corrupted into argument or degenerate into a conflict of personalities. In other words, discussion also has its etiquette. Etiquette for the fraternity is set forth with great weight and feeling in the old charges found in the constitutions. Regulations governing discussion in grand lodges are prescribed in the rules of the order. Printed with the constitutions, regulations for discussion in lodge are embedded here and there in the constitutions, and are stated in lodge bylaws and elsewhere. They all belong to the prescribed mode of conduct, defined as Masonic etiquette, especially in our discussions. There are three great prohibitions in all Masonic discussions: all secretarian discussion, all argument or statement pro or con as to the merits of politics, of any given religion or theological creed, of racial questions, of private business, or of any other non-Masonic subject by which men are divided into classes, feuds, schisms, or are opposed on secretarian issues, is at all times forbidden. It is strictly forbidden to discuss a petitioner other than to read his petition and indicate whether the report of the investigation committee is favorable or unfavorable, and for a Mason to reveal how he has voted, or in any way to seek to persuade members to vote one way or another. All offensive personal remarks, all exceptions of bitterness or ill will, and all or any slurs upon the lodge or its officers, Grand Lodge or its officers, and the fraternity itself, and all flippant, unseemly, or discourteous remarks addressed to the lodge or to its officers are condemned alike by the principles of common courtesy and etiquette, and by the disciplinary laws of the craft. Dress or attire. The matter of attire depends entirely upon the circumstances and is a point Grand Lodge leaves to each constituent lodge to decide. Though much may be said in favor of formal attire, since it is a mark of respect to the fraternity, one thing is certain. If any of the officers are required to wear formal attire, all of the officers should wear it without exception. And if he and his colleagues wear it, the worshipful master should use a hat to correspond, not a soft hat, a straw hat, or a cap. The members will dress accordingly to private taste, normally a jacket with tie, and it is proper that they enter the lodge room with apron properly arranged beforehand, and any other regalia, jewels, etc. in due order. There is a philosophy in dress, as in so many other things, and the dress proper to Masonic occasion is no exception. Its principle is good taste. Its practice is to wear such attire as a show of respect to the Brotherhood and expresses the dignity of Masonry. In closing, I want to pass on a story I heard while attending one of the Deputy Grand Master's Task Force Committee meetings on the subject of pride. One of the members recalled an incident that happened one Sunday while attending Mass. The priest announced that right after Mass, the local Knights of Columbus were going to have their public installation of officers. His curiosity was flamed, and he stayed behind to observe the installation and compare it to the Masonic installation of officers. To his surprise, he was the only one who stayed behind to observe the installation. To his greater shock, he witnessed council officers turning out for a public installation in t-shirts, shorts, and sneakers. They had no idea of what the floor work was supposed to be. and the actual installation itself seemed to be ad-lib. After the presentation, the parish priest, who knew him to be a Freemason, asked him, "I hope you Masons have it more together than the KFC," of which he assured him that we most certainly did. This is a serious example of pride. Would you turn out as an officer for a public installation in a t-shirt, shorts, and sneakers? Could the reason that no one stayed behind to see the installation be that they have previously seen it and saw no pride in the organization? Masonic etiquette instills pride. Yet pride is something that you have to have within, because if you have pride in this fraternity, it shows without. Alright, we already covered the ways to support the show earlier, so at this time we can move right along into the famous Freemason. But before I start, I want to ask you guys a little favor. I have now done 124 episodes, one a week, for almost 3 years now. I have to say, it's by the grace of God that I haven't accidentally repeated a famous Freemason segment. If I have, no one has had the heart to let me know. So, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, I'm starting to go back and make a record of each episode and who the famous Freemason was. This will ensure that I don't cover one I already have. So the favor is this. If you are listening one day and you hear the famous Freemason, I don't care how many duplicate emails I get, shoot me a quick email that says the episode and the famous Freemason. That's it. It'll help out a ton. A brother recently also suggested that a Wikipedia page would help out, because people could just sign on and edit the information as they go. But I have no idea how that even works. I'm a little bit behind on my Wikipedia knowledge. So if someone out there decides to start one, then that's totally cool with me. So now that that's out of the way, let's dig into Antonio Meucci. Born April 13th, 1808, passed away October 18th, 1889. Antonio Santi Giuseppe Meucci was born in Florence, Italy, moving to Havana, Cuba in 1835 and relocating to New York in 1850. Employed as a customs officer, his revolutionary activities led to his incarceration in 1833 and 1834 with the Italian patriot F.D. Guerrazzi. Shortly after his release, Meucci left for Havana, Cuba. Meucci discovered the principle of the telephone in 1849 and developed a working model by 1859. The Meucci circuit diagrams, notarized in September of 1885, though dated 27th September 1870, clearly predate the work of Pupin, Campbell, Heaviside, and Vashi, and the later contested Alexander Graham Bell patent. Giuseppe Garibaldi, exiled from Italy in 1850, arrived in New York 2 months after Meucci, who gave him work in his candle factory in Clifton until he returned to Italy in January of 1854. Registering at least 11 patents among other accomplishments, Meucci established the first stearic candle process in the Americas in 1850 and 1851, the first electroplating factory in the Americas established in Havana, Cuba in 1844, and the first paraffin candle factory in the world, the New York Paraffin Candle Company, set up in Clifton, New York, early in 1860. On June 15, 2002, the USA Congress, by House Resolution No. 269, officially recognized the work of Meucci in the invention of the telephone. In response, on June 21, the Canadian Parliament passed a unanimous resolution recognizing Alexander Graham Bell as the inventor of the telephone. So there's a little bit of conjecture there. In fact, Antonio Meucci is said to have been a Freemason, and several records state that he was, however, it is unconfirmed. But I thought there's probably a good chance he was, so I'd report anyway. Alright, before I bug out, let me just mention our podcast partners, Brother Rob Lewis, who can be found on Twitter at Robert P. Lewis and at Far From Centered. And also Brother Juan Sepulveda, who can be found on Twitter at TheWindingStairs33. Of course, Brother Rob Lewis, who is now home from the Middle East and back with his family. Brother Rob is the host of Far From Centered podcast and the writer of Love Me When I'm Gone, which is a great book about his time over there. Also, I can't forget about Brother Juan Sepulveda of The Winding Stairs podcast and the brother behind FreemasonryArt.com, which we do now have an affiliate membership with. As I said before, you can head over there and use the promo code WCY and get 10% off, as well as a bit of the capital gets kicked back right to this show to help keep the lights on. I also want to send out a huge, huge thanks to a few brothers who recently donated to the show via PayPal. So, Brother Ogiano, as always, thank you. Brother Rourke, Brother Roger Jones, Brother Derek Craig, I really can't thank you enough. And also, I gotta throw a big thanks out to Brother Huckabee for sending me a little something in the mail. A nice coin and a pin from the Grand Lodge of Texas. It really means a lot. It's right there in my pin case for everybody to see when they come in my office. I'm really proud of it. Thank you so very much. Please do not forget to follow the Midnight Freemasons on Twitter at Midnight Masons. Find them on Facebook. Give them a like. And most importantly, have a good read 3 times a week. We publish short articles or posts 3 times a week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. They're always fresh. Speaking of likes and follows, please don't forget to find us on Facebook and follow on Twitter at Whence Came You. Don't forget to check out fraternalties.com for the best neckwear on the planet. Check out PB&J Water, or you can find them on the web at pbnjh2o.com and on Twitter. This company is run by a good friend and brother, Jeff Koch, who basically gives you the best options in water filtration anywhere. His systems are amazing, so check them out. I hope you all had a fantastic Christmas, Hanukkah, solstice, or a mix of any of the listed or unlisted. I look forward to keep on spreading the light into the next year. So until next year, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.
I need another story, something to get off my chest. My life gets kinda boring, need something that I can confess. Till on my sleeves I stained red, from all the truth that I've said. Come by it honestly, I swear. Thought you saw me wink, no, I've been on the brink. So tell me what you want to hear.